The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot blast. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your bomb cast. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. A quick, if the fingerless glove don't fit, get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the crisis!
Oh yeah. Ooh yeah. I went to go see the RZA perform last night with a small orchestra at the Gramercy Theater. Interesting take on the first album. Interesting. He had a lot of kung fu people come on stage to do kung fu demonstrations. Not really sure what the value of kung fu is in the world other than putting on demonstrations alone.
No, you need kung fu.
There was no one in there who really seemed that scary. Like if they started doing kung fu on you, that you couldn't like stop them.
That was one of the best parts of like early UFC was just people, not just kung fu, but like people who were just like one of those random disciplines that just ended up not doing anything. But how quickly they just like when they get in a fist fight, they just lost all of that shit.
Yeah, I know.
Just started like
he's a master. He's a master of Wing Chun, but he lost to this guy named Bruiser, who's a bouncer over at a local bar.
And after like 30 seconds in, like they kind of start being like, okay, I'm going to do my like Wing Chun shit. But then they get punched in the face and then they're just flailing, and they don't really know how to fight.
Start fighting like a black chick. Yeah. Swinging.
Swinging just the
wild. Yeah. Their flippies and stuff is all pretty neat.
Well, this is, these are like the Shaolin fucking people or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, this is literally what a 12-year-old girl does across blue mats.
There was one of these guys who fought MMA and had like some mixed success. Like he won some fights and shit. But
I'll tell you right now, I'll fight any Wing Chun master right now.
It looks like it's all for, well, this is Shaolin Kung Fu. Wing Chun might be scarier. That's what Bruce Lee did.
Dude, I don't know if I can. Kung Fu is not going to, unless you're a panda. Kung Fu is not working.
If you're a panda, it's pretty badass.
Honestly, if you're a panda, why I would just rather use my bear moves instead of my kung fu moves.
Could you imagine
finding
that?
Why are you learning technique? You're a giant bear.
They go, dude. He goes, we're being held inside this building. This bear won't leave outside of our cabin. He goes, oh God, now he's doing Wing Chun.
Oh no, dude. Oh no.
I didn't even think the bear had skills and I was already scared.
Oh my God.
A panda with the slightest karate chop could rip your face skin right off of your
skull. I just feel like there's really no reason for the kung fu.
Yeah, he goes, doesn't matter really how his hand makes contact, it's gonna rip an organ out of your body.
Oh my God, the bear's writing poetry and it's moving.
Did that lion know jujitsu?
Bruce Lee has, is so known for his thing, and he gets such respect. And when people talk about him, even who are like karate people or like, you know, very experienced or accomplished martial artists, but there's really no evidence of him at all.
Well, supposedly he did like some real fights and shit like that. But it's all kind of like legend and like, you know, like you don't really know. And then you see videos of him like hitting a heavy bag and you're like, oh, that's bullshit.
Well, he did the thing. The one thing I've ever seen was they have that video of him. He went to a contest and they were testing, like they wanted to see his speed. And a guy was like, so you see this one video of a guy who was like, he's like, I don't think he could hit me or something like that. And then he just goes very quickly and shows like that he very quickly could be hitting him every time. He's not.
I mean, I watch a couple breakdowns
also,
on Bruce
Lee.
I think
you could do this to everybody.
I watch a couple breakdowns on Bruce Lee where he was like pretty, he was way ahead of his time. like way, way, way ahead of his time, doing mixed martial arts before other people were doing it, using grappling techniques, using
that was kind of his best, and he was using
traditional boxing. Like he was a mixed martial artist. He was like really into learning all of these different styles. Sure. And there's
his own.
There's like demonstrations where he's like showing what he can do. There's a guy named The Weasel who he's just like a great MMA like breakdown guy. I believe it was his video that I watched. No, I'm sorry. Might have been this fucking British boxer. Either it doesn't even matter, but it was somebody who really broke it down, and they were just sort of breaking down like, no, this guy could have actually been really, really good. His reflexes were like crazy. He had really amazing technique. It's just about what you put yourself into. I think Bruce Lee was talented enough of a martial artist and athletic enough. He was super athletic. That was a big part of what he did. That if he were to today train mixed martial arts, he could probably be a fucking absolute killer.
That's true for anyone who's a good athlete, is that if you were to train MMA, you could get really good at MMA. It's
true for anybody that's a good athlete. I mean, there's something about being punched in the face that like just not any good athletes down to just be punched directly in the fucking
head. Sure, but I don't know how much Bruce Lee was actually punched in the face. I mean, like the thing is, he was smart and his thing was basically
he was haunted by a samurai dragon.
Well, that's true. His thing was that he wanted to learn every different martial art and like take what was useful of all of them. So he kind of like thought of MMA before like it was a thing.
Yeah.
But like all those traditional martial artists, the problem they all had was they all bought into this shit that you can't spar because what they do is so deadly.
Yeah.
And so that's like why almost everything you see out of Bruce Lee is like, I'm showing you where I could hit you, or I'm going to kick you while you hold this bag to knock you over. But it's never like, let's just fight and see.
I think there's Bruce Lee sparring videos.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm
almost positive.
I looked sort of recently. But I tell you what he was able to do. I mean, like I said, I'm not even doubting him. I'm just saying it's funny. Like,
yeah, G Mike has an old video of Bruce Lee fighting in a real competition. No, there's also plenty of sparring videos.
Because everybody like talks about him with this like reverence, and I'm not even saying he didn't deserve it. It's just funny that like there's just not much evidence of it like happening. Do you know what I mean? Like he was definitely.
Let's see what the video is.
I've seen the video of him doing 2-finger push-ups. Is fucking unreal. That's insane. That alone is
that's nuts.
Mission. I mean, that's nuts. 2 fingers. And not like on 2 hands, like 2 fingers, 1 hand. Is that him on the left, I guess?
Bruce Lee's only a real recorded fight.
Yeah. Telegraphing his move too much.
And why are they all dressed up in pillows?
Because they're not supposed to. Yeah, I mean, he was definitely, if nothing
else, I will absolutely take no damage.
Who knows?
You miss again. You miss. You must put me in baseball umpire uniform, or I will not fight.
Oh, you miss. You miss again. Oh, dipsy doodle. Nope. Oh, boom, boom. Boom, boom, bing.
It's like that.
Just like that, it'd be over. Try again.
But even this sparring, it seems like you're like, I'm showing you where I would have killed you, but not doing it.
Yeah. He's fucking fast as shit. For sure. But he also, I think at this point.
Well, it's also point karate. The idea is you know what I'm saying? Like,
he's deadly fast.
But even this isn't really disproving my point, which maybe I'm wrong about with Bruce Lee. I was saying it more just in general with the old like martial artists, like that was kind of their problem.
Yeah.
But like, but even that is still kind of what I'm saying, where it's like there's never just a real like, no, like do it. And this is part of the reason why all of the disciplines that dominate MMA, it's like jiu-jitsu, wrestling, Muay Thai, boxing, all of those shits were the ones where they just did it.
Yeah.
And then they found out like what actually works and what doesn't fucking work because they're constantly fighting. Like, whereas this shit just didn't really do as much.
And it turns out bouncering was pretty good for one point.
Yeah.
The style of bouncering also worked out for a while.
Bouncering is a great style, actually. Just, you understand some, Jay. Can I tell you your best bet to beat me in a fight? Because if you and I were just to box, I'd handle you pretty easily. I mean, it would be a goddamn embarrassment, right? But I think there's a chance you could beat me in a fight. And it's simply by taking my head and trying to push it into the corner of a table over and over again. Were just to grab my head and start to
I have to like retard strength it. I have to get in and bash you around like Blanca.
But I think it's genuinely a good technique for you. I watched you do it with those boys that we attacked at Wayne's room at CB's.
Yeah, yeah.
Just starting to choke slam people through tables, just sort of like pushing people into walls. Like the way the Terminator fought the new Terminator, too.
Yeah. I have to go Rhino Strike. Yeah, smash him from wall to wall, table to table.
Yeah, dude.
I have to Hulk smash.
Yeah, dude. You have to fucking pull out like you got like a thing of roses, but inside of that thing of roses is a shotgun.
Well, could you imagine at the beginning of a fight, you saw me get into a fight with someone and square up and then try to throw a spinning kick? Like, what the fuck was he doing? Nah, I thought I had it, guys.
Well, that's the thing. When that guy, that gigantic fucking YouTuber guy was like talking about him fighting Demetrius Johnson, and you're almost like, you can't. Then they were talking about like doing it, but then they were going to like grapple or something like that. But it's like, well, if you do this anywhere like on pads where you're just grappling or something, like, yeah. Demetrius Johnson's going to fuck you up.
Controlled environment, 10 out of 10 times Demetrius Johnson's going to get your back and choke you the fuck out. The X factor is, are you in a bar with glass and sharp tables everywhere?
So in a sense, we can't ever really find out, because to find out if you could do what you have to do, you have to try to kill Demetrius Johnson. Like,
yeah, Lewis, hey, Lewis, that's great. While you're arm barring me, I'm going to be biting your calf off.
Jay's going to do the thing where he smashes the bottle and uses the broken pieces to jabbing into me.
He goes, well, who won, though? Looks like it took him.
Yeah, it is like a, you know, I, no, I, if you're I don't
married
know if
to,
like,
look, if you're married to a style that you have to do in a situation like that, could be, I mean, that's what, you know, when Nate Diaz tried to go in for the, that was funny when Butterly did the joke of that. He went for like the double leg at the end of the fight.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatchamacallit, but like, you know, yeah, it's like stylistic.
I almost spun and took his back.
Yeah,
I was thinking about it because he was fucking around and I could have fucked around too. But then I was like, what is this turning into?
Yeah. Then it's going to take the actual like contest out of it, and it's killing time.
Yeah. So, but yeah, dude, I don't know if I ever want to get into a fucking street fight again.
Oh, if I could avoid it ever, it would be great. But I'll tell you what, you say that until you're hyped up on it. It's like yeah, this guy needs to be handled. like I hope I don't be in a street fight again. But this guy needs it. Yeah. But if you get me an hour removed from any possible physical situation, even if I was like, I should have done something and I didn't, you're always like, the world moves on. Nothing would be different. If I won the fight, it's just a story to tell your buddies. If you get fucking hurt, you look like a goddamn idiot for getting involved in it to begin with.
Yeah, you could hurt them and get in a lot of trouble.
If you really hurt somebody, also, yeah, you're in a lot of shit.
Even at this point, if I got into a fist fight in the street and I won, like, there's not even an upside in the story. You know what I'm saying? There's not even like I get to come and be like, hey, dude, I kicked some stranger's ass. I'm 41.
No, look, it's still going to feel good if you were exacting justice on something.
Yes,
you
know what I mean? Yes.
I mean, the guy grabbed my girlfriend's tit or something, you know what I mean? And like you fucked him up. Like,
well, something like that. You could be put in a situation where you have no choice but to fight. But well, in
also,
general,
my girl, she likes her tits being grabbed. So have I asked her how she felt?
That's true. Know. You've never. I know you've never thrown a punch at me when I greet her always with a double tit grab.
Well, it's not a double tit grab. It's a double titty twister, Jay. And that's funny. That's not sexual.
Yeah. I go, oh, welcome back from tour.
Yoink.
Oh, you know who my favorite Latino artist is? Purple Nurple.
Crank. Yeah, dude. I fucking, yeah, I guess if you're in that case, but even it's rarely even exacting justice. You could just walk away. I almost had an incident today. I was at the steam room today. I almost had an incident.
You almost sucked that off again.
No,
got all in my hair.
Doggy, I don't know.
The incident in my mouth, the incident a little bit on my face.
It's crazy to me that it always bring it. I know it's not me. I know I am the common denominator. Okay. I know. I know it. And I know that technically, by all logical standards, you should be like, well, if there's another steam room incident, it has to be Lewis's fault.
It doesn't
great.
It doesn't. I don't think logic says it has to. Like, you could just be this unlucky that you're always in the right in steam rooms. and you constantly have. It's possible. I'm saying logic doesn't preclude that from being the case. It's just Luis, it doesn't look great.
Luis J. Gomez, steam room vigilante. Solving all your steam room debates.
I don't know why, but I mean, how many years have we been doing these podcasts?
12.
Maybe because I steam a lot.
That's it. It's the numbers.
It's a game of numbers. Yeah.
You know, you guys don't steam as much as me. The steam room incidents just aren't happening in your lives like that.
I know you're a very sweaty guy, so you might be a little unpleasant in the steam room also.
No, I'm at my most zen.
Are you?
Okay. Yeah.
So really, so that's breaking the fucking thing.
I go into the steam room today. It's fucking bonkers. I can't even believe these things fucking happened to me. And it didn't turn into an incident, but it maybe only didn't turn into an incident because this guy just walked the fuck away.
Or maybe because you were so zen.
Dude, you probably saw your zen.
I go into the steam room. I'm fucking chilling. I'm in there alone for a while. I go, I get out to go cool off. I'm in there for maybe 15, 20 minutes. I get out to go cool off. Another guy's walking in as I get out to go cool off.
Yeah.
Okay. It is what it is. Another bald guy. I go out, kind of cool off for a second, take a sip of water. I come back. This guy, it's fucking crazy. This guy is holding the steam room door open, letting all of the steam out. Just letting it all out. And I'm going like, this is fucking crazy. Like, why would you do that? The only point of a steam room is to be a nice hot room. Like, you would never do that. It's just crazy.
This guy was just you. It was another you. He goes, now it's a steam gym.
He's like, what? The steam should be everywhere.
Why are you hogging all the steam in the steam room?
Dude, so I come back. And as I'm walking back in the steam room, another guy walks back in the steam room. So he's kind of holding it open still. And I'm like, hey, dude. I was like, Jay, what are you doing?
Trying to find the right thing for a Rocky song to start.
Oh, okay.
From Rocky. It was going to be funny.
Send it to the production. We'll do it all.
It's going to be too. That would have had to announce it now. I want to listen to the story.
Now it's too late. Now it's too late. But I'm just saying, can I tell you what I do? I'll send a direct message in the chat just to Alex or G Mike if I want them to pull something up that I want you guys to be surprised with. I don't send it to the whole group. I just individually send it.
You've been messaging Alex behind our back all these years?
Alex, next time, can you have the part where Mickey goes, what are we, right after Adrian says win and you hear the bell and Mickey says, what are we waiting for when Lewis gets into it in a fight story?
Just have that ready just in general, just for life.
What are we waiting for?
So the guy's holding the steam room open, all the steam's escaping. And I was like, hey, dude. I was like, what are you doing? Like, you got to close the steam. You got to close the door. I was like, well, the steam's getting out. He's like, oh, I'm trying to reactivate the thing. So the steam comes back on.
What am I paying to steam the whole neighborhood?
I don't steam a lot, but that sounds wrong. Isn't there like a thing you hit?
No, you don't hit anything. So here's the thing. There's a sensor in the steam room. This has come up a few times because there's steam room etiquette. Okay. There's a sensor in the steam room, which is a thermometer, which when the temperature in the room falls below a certain temperature, the steam will initiate and come back on, right? So what people will do is they'll manipulate it. They'll take water and they'll pour it on the thermometer, or they'll take a towel and put it over it, and then they'll make it get really hot, which you really shouldn't do that either. Like if you're trying to make it hotter in the room, you should maybe ask everybody in the room. This is when I got kicked out of Equinox. That was one of the things the guys were doing. They kept on like hitting it over and over again as they were talking loudly. And everything was just rude about what they were doing. But this guy is a fucking idiot. He doesn't know how a steam room works. And I was like, I understand you're trying to make the thing go back on, but you're making the steam room cold. I was like, so this is counterproductive.
Seems counterproductive. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I said. I was like, it's counterproductive. And I was like, if you want the thing to come back on, just hit it with a little bit of water. And it's like, that's against the rules. And then I kind of like, I was like, buddy, I was like, it's against the rules to hold the door open for the steam room. I was like, if we're going to break a rule, let's break a rule that's going to make everyone warm because we all want. And then another guy in the room started.
You're ruining my zen.
And then the guy tutted. Then the guy tutted. He went. And then fucking left and didn't even come back in the steam room. And that was that. He tutted. And then
what is tutted?
Me and another guy, that's the word. The word for the onomatopoeic sound is tut.
Okay. I just didn't know.
It was like a kapow. Gotcha. I got you.
He tutted. It's called tutting.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm not familiar with it.
CG Mike put the definition. Make an exclamation expressing disapproval or annoyance.
Kazoo.
He achewed.
Yeah. Schoonjowie.
So he tutted and then left. But all it took was him coming back at me with any more of an attitude, and it would have turned into a full-fledged incident in this fucking steam room. But it's like, it's just...
what did he do instead? He was like, you know what? Keep your steam room.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? Don't even care. I already came.
Yeah. I finished anyway.
It is hilariously stupid to be trying to let all of the steam out so that it produces more steam.
It's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah. Why do you want new steam? You didn't want to be sitting in someone else's old steam.
No, it was because it wasn't steaming anymore. It was like the thing that it was off because it was hot enough. So he wanted fresh steam. I don't even fucking know, dude. It just made me furious.
It's pretty stupid.
Hey, guys, real quick, let's talk about one of our longtime amazing sponsors over here at the Legion of Skanks. These guys are the sponsors of all things Gas Digital, really. It is, of course, Yo Kratom, everybody. They've been with us so long, so many years now. And with all those years, they still hold firm to their $60 kilo deal. Pretty amazing. High quality, lab-tested Kratom delivered right to your door.
They're basically lowering prices, in effect.
They've ruined the market, quite honestly. So you might as well go to them because everybody else is going to give you cheap, shitty stuff. It's probably not even tested in a lab, which I don't like. I like all my Kratom lab tested. I took Kratom last night and went to go see the RZA. It was awesome.
Nice.
It was awesome. Yo Kratom, again, support the people who support the kind of comedy you love. And Yo Kratom is marquee in that department. So check them out right now. Home of the $60 kilo, YoKratom.com. Check them out. All right, let's get back into it.
Dude, I fucking... Do you know,
you're lucky that guy knew Wing Chun.
Dude, I put on 22 pounds since the weigh-ins.
Some of that's just rehydrating? Were you cutting weight for the weigh-ins or no?
I cut a little bit of weight for the weigh-ins, yeah. But yeah, I put on 12 or 13 pounds just eating shitty food in 3 days.
Is it dangerous?
I don't know.
Look up if that's genuinely dangerous. I mean, I know like Tom Hanks got diabetes from doing that.
Well, that's a little different, right? So I'm not putting on extreme fat and then cutting like extreme fat. Like I lost weight over time through diet and exercise, and then I, you know, gorge myself over a couple days and fucking, I'm not putting on like real fat. I'm just sort of putting on water weight. I'm retaining.
Why don't you start purging? Have you ever thought about that?
Maybe killing people one day per year?
Yeah, just one day a year, just killing and raping. All rules are off and you take what's yours. All crime is legal. You know what's hilarious? In the Purge movies, all crime was legal. It jumps immediately to everyone's in a murderous game. No one's like, hey, I'm going to smash into a Best Buy and get all the video games and PlayStation 5s. Like, there's no also just regular crime happening. Everything's got to be like people dressed like Indians and Statue of Liberty murdering people with the helicopter guns.
It's also like very often what they're choosing to wear in order to play murder games seems counterproductive. It seems like a guy holding the steam room door open trying to make it more steamy. It's fucking crazy, dude. This bitch, you're wearing a fucking clown mask. You know how hard it is to breathe in those things?
I do say it would be uncomfortable doing a mask. However, but I'm just mean also that like, the streets are littered. And even in the suburbs, the streets were littered with just murderers. Nobody was just committing regular old like crime.
Can I say, devil's advocate?
Sure.
It just probably wasn't as interesting of a point in the movie. They were probably committing all those crimes. People were jaywalking left and right, dude.
You think so?
People were running red lights.
It's the Purge. I'm going to commit identity theft.
Oh, my God.
It just wasn't a super interesting plot.
He goes, ooh.
Murder just, happening.
Someone just had their Uber Eats left at their door. Don't mind if I do.
Yeah,
you go, whoa, dude, what are you doing? He goes, dude, it's the Purge.
Well, my bad. Carry on.
I mean, the other thing is there's like very often like you go down an alleyway and it's like 3 15-year-old girls wearing like mini skirts. And you're like, fuck you, bitches. You're not purging me. I'm going to purge you. I'm going to purge the fuck out of these bitches.
Yeah, no, I mean, you don't want small things to happen on the Purge. But I mean, just simple, like just go into like a hotel and just like shake the shit out of all the what's the concession machine? What do you call it? Vending machine.
Vending machine.
Just shake it. Just crush all the fucking Doritos out of that thing.
I'm gonna rip the little tag off the little pillows in the department store.
Yeah, dude.
Just purge time.
Fucking, just purge, fucking guys. Today's the Purge. We're breaking all rules.
Dude, at checkout, I did not swipe all of my items.
Yeah,
at self checkout,
just put a few in the bag.
Dude, I've never paid for all of my items at self-checkout.
Really?
Never once.
I often do, but I'm telling you, if one's giving me a fucking issue, and if you have to, and if you, I'm just throwing it in the bag, and if I, and if they call somebody over more than once, if it tells somebody I have to come over more than once, I'm stealing something for sure.
Yeah, the whole
thing.
If
it goes smooth, I'll pay everything square.
Well, they put a mirror there. The reason they put a mirror there is to make it so you're like less likely to steal. Because you're like looking at yourself, see, like you're almost like listening.
Watch yourself steal. Feel bad about yourself. Look at that, a thief.
Is there really right a mirror? In the eyes.
There's usually a mirror, yeah, at self-checkout.
Really?
And it's so you kind of look at yourself in the face, and you're like, are you going to really do this?
Is this the person you are stealing? fucking certain dry deodorant,
dude. Every time I self-checkout, I will steal a little something. Because I'll tell you why. Because it's so it's like the easiest crime to get away with, because I throw it in the bag, and if they catch me on it, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I just didn't fucking swipe.
I hope this video is admitted to your court process.
Well, then the other thing is, so they when you put it in the bag, they weigh it too very often. So that's an annoying thing. Like if you go to CVS, like you'll put it in and then it'll be like, this does not match the weight of the thing you got. You're like, oh, you motherfucker. You have to wait for somebody to come over.
Oh my God.
In that moment, I steal. Like, all right, well, guess what? You don't know how much any of this shit weighs.
Yeah, you put me through it too much. Or you put it on the wrong side of the thing. It's such a fucking ordeal. I think it slows everything down, quite honestly. Self-checkout, but they really want you to do it. Did you see the video of the guy? It's so fucking awkward because it's I guess they self-checked out. There's like black family, something at Disney. I want to know. It's Sesame Place, I think, in Philly or outside of Philadelphia, and they just bought stuff and having to sit there while the employees come out and start running their bags. No, wait a second. And they paid for everything. You know what I mean? It's just one of those, like, they're just like assuming, and it's just like, it's awkward for the fucking white people who work there. It's awkward for the whole thing's awkward. Like, they know. I feel like the people checking them know how bad it looks. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh man, it's because we're black. And he goes, it doesn't look like it's for any other reason. Agreed, sir. Like, it seems like they're just doing this because you're a black family.
Yeah. I mean, it's always like, how many white people are also checked, though? I just don't like, I don't ever buy that there's like this like systemic racism and with like the poor people that work at CVS too are also black or like poor white people. I understand there is systemic racism. I'm not saying that that's this. I'm just saying, like, more often than not, if somebody's fucking getting checked for like shoplifting, I don't really ever believe it's because they're black. Maybe they're watched a little more closely because they're black. But
almost my point. I think this is less likely to happen with the white equivalent of what this family. It was like a family with like a couple kids and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it looked like the kids were like embarrassed. These little kids were embarrassed because they were going through like just like being accused of like taking shit.
Yeah.
Do you have that video? You have it?
How are you going to tell me to relax what you just did?
You're not like,
it's not the point. You're pulling us out of line for something. We told you nobody has to stay
right there.
It's all there. Crazy.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like a bunch of thugs like blew in there and fucking popped up. You're right. I think of a bunch of like punk white kids went in there and were
being
weird.
What's going on?
But why yeah, it's I don't believe it's because they're black, because there's a lot of black people that are at the Philadelphia Sesame Place. They would stop everybody. My assumption is somebody saw somebody do something shady. It could have been simply this happened to me before, right? Where I put my cell phone in my pocket. I just put it away and they saw me put my hand into my pocket. Right. And I've had it happen at a supermarket where they're like, oh,
there happened to be a filet mignon in my pocket.
And then there was my filet mignon that I brought from home. Same stuff they sell at the supermarket.
Well, this is my market.
You never know when you're going to come upon a grill.
That's funny. Because they catch you for stealing at a grocery store and your excuses. He goes, No, I bought this stuff last month. This is my store, man. I carry around with it. I go around with it, man.
Yeah, as I'm fucking putting on my detective hat, I just don't jump to immediately, oh, it's because it's a black family. I'm like, well, it's Philadelphia. It's Sesame Place. It's only black people that go there. So now it's like, this is the one black family that they're being racist. What is, I don't exactly understand.
It's not
understand
only black
that.
People that go there, for sure. It's in Levittown, PA. So it's like, it's...
I'm just saying Sesame Place is a very... I only went to one Sesame Place ever, and it wasn't in Philly. It was in, I don't even know, upstate New York or Jersey or somewhere. It was heavily
more
black.
Than one Sesame Place.
I thought there was only one Sesame Place.
Oh, maybe that's the one I went to. It was heavily black. I went the Sesame Place that I went to.
Very black.
One time I went, extraordinarily black.
I'm just, it's not, my point is even that
some would say
I'm
not too even black.
Saying, I'm almost
Big Bird was a crow.
We didn't watch too much of this. I'm saying more. There's awkwardness also. Is it the people?
Big Bird was one of those seagulls covered in oil. Beach.
Whoever told them, whoever told the security people that there's something going on here is like the point. I'm saying the security's also awkward that they have to do this because they're just. They have everything that's on the receipt only like in those bags. And like, and just like that, I'd be like, can we go now? They're like, yes. Like also they came up with nothing. So it's like they were sent out there. It all looks so they're being filmed. So it's all going to read bad.
I think that they were probably doing some shady shit. They probably stole, to be honest with you. What I'm deducing is they probably stole some shit and they didn't catch them with the product. And then they went and they did the whole like, oh my God, how dare you.
I hope it's that. And I'm just always the guy sitting there go, no, these guys, they're good people.
Well, I'm just saying, like, what? How are you calling racism at fucking Sesame Place? That's the only people that fucking also just go there. That
you. The thing is that, okay, there's
the picture lots of the video. I want to see how many people. Let me just say,
there's lots of reasons that could be the reason why they stopped them. I have no idea what it was. It could be someone else said. It could be they did some shady motion. It could be, but it's like you can't just jump to assuming the reason they did it is because they're black, unless there's some reason to think.
Yeah, and that's the point of this fucking dumb TikTok video. It's like racism at Sesame Place. It's like, I don't know, dude.
Oh,
like,
no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, for sure. The layover on the screen isn't what the original thing I was saying about the awkwardness of that. Like, they have
to
stop.
Yes, no, that's
like,
true
like
regardless.
You're, it's like, you're not stopping. Like, some people even go, if they stopped a bunch of, like, thuggy teen kids, you're like, it doesn't make me overthink that much. I'm like, they probably were being weirdos in the store. I would say the same thing about two punk white kids, but this is just the fact that it's just like a family with children. There's a couple children in the group and stuff. And like, you know, these aren't like, you know, ghetto people. It seems like, so it's like, I'm saying the awkwardness on the security people, the awkwardness of the, it's just like it's a weird.
Go back to the video. Let me watch it again.
Oh, that was just the very beginning of it. I'm trying to look in the background and see what the client
make it full screen. I don't need to see it. Like, let me see the video, guys. Right,
we were supposed to spend all that damn money anyway.
Crazy. Everything's right here. I can't believe you just did that.
Where's Eli?
Oh, they have to go touch all your stuff again.
Eli's ready.
That's on there.
That's on there too.
This right here too. Elmo hoodie and Sesame Street hoodie.
They're wearing it. I like also that they're wearing it.
I mean, they also do seem a little thuggy.
You don't.
Thuggy?
Well,
I mean that guy seems downright gay. I think it's the family.
No, he's looking right. He can't see.
That's embarrassing to pull us out of line.
He can't watch all of us at one time.
That was not all, nothing. Just give me the receipt. Get out of my face. That's fucking embarrassing that you did that. You're not even saying sorry.
I'm sorry.
Pulling us out of line and stuff like that. We told you we paid for it. That's crazy.
Oh, she's like, I'm sorry. She didn't say sorry right away. It's like she just knows
that's
how it looks.
So crazy.
And it's just on the internet.
We didn't even do anything. You pulling us out of line?
And we paid.
That's crazy.
Folks, we have two.
You're sorry. I'm getting a call on my walkie-talkie.
Okay. Right there. Well, we're going
to put this back
so
in the car.
Thin.
No, that's fine. I'll be right back.
That line's open right there, folks. Folks, we have two.
I mean, I just here's my problem with something like this. Like, I personally have been stopped and falsely accused of stealing shit, right? You know,
I've told you a handful of times,
but you know,
every time he leaves my house.
But no, I told you one time I put my cell phone in my inner pocket and the person just thought I was putting something in there. Another time I put something in my armpit, just to hold. It was a Halloween
making a fart noise.
I was like, come get me.
Oh, and it was like smaller than your armpit kind of thing. Like, look,
no, it was a Halloween like stencil kit. It was like a pamphlet. And I just put it here like this to like pick up other stuff. The person just saw me do that motion. They thought I put it into my arm and the security came over and they was like, what did you put in your? And I was like, wait, I was like, it's not in my pocket. I was like, it's in my fucking. I guess I could have if I was a white mom. They maybe would have never even looking at me, but because I'm a Puerto Rican guy, I'm a big guy.
That's definitely, it was you. The reason they were looking at you.
But I mean, does my skin color have something to do with it? Probably. Could I create a fucking TikTok video being like racism at fucking ShopRite?
Sure, yes.
Because it's just, but it's gay. It's just sort of like, in my opinion,
no, sure.
I don't think that that's indicative of racism at Sesame Place. I think it's indicative of maybe just a bad security guard not doing their job. That happens to white people every day. It happens to Puerto Rican people every day.
There's also like lots of factors that are besides skin, like you're tatted up. That might be like a factor in like someone looking at you that way. There's lots of different, like the way you dress, the way you carry yourself. There's a million things. And it's like impossible to say in most of these cases that the racial thing is actually why they were looking at you more. Like,
I feel like if you're just looking for those microaggressions, you're going to find them. And I think society, we're regularly just looking for those microaggressions. So it's like you could easily put together a thousand videos a day, just sort of pointing out all of that.
My point is that's what I'm saying. I'm not like saying like this poor family or the poor security for sure. I'm just saying this is an indicative video of like, 15 years ago, this would have been another day at the office and they had a thing and the black people said it's racist and they were like, it's not. We saw this and it just moves on. Like now it becomes like a thing, like these security guards at the thing are a racist. Like I said, I think, but in the video, it looks like to me, like everyone thinks it fucking sucks. That's going to happen. Like the security's being filmed and they're just having like, I got to check this shit, man. Like I just got to double check the receipt of the thing. I mean, they're not being like, super nice about it, but when the guy was like, you didn't even apologize or nothing, she's like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, nigger. Now keep it moving.
But I'm saying, like, she like they really do. They just like they're, it just sucks for everybody involved. Like I said, it is very embarrassing for that family for sure. Yeah. But I was like, you know, when those security people are checking for the thing and they know they're being filmed with the cameras, they're like, please God, have stole something.
I have my picture in the back of a supermarket. I was stealing a beer when I was like 22 and they fucking caught me. And
You made a picture? Yeah.
They were like, you got to come in the back. Like, we won't call the cops, but you got to come in the back. You got to take a picture and we're going to put you on the thing. You can't come back here. And I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, what? You know, you get the pictures, like you see them at like supermarkets in the hood. Uh-huh. And it's just like, yeah, there is a supermarket in the East Village with my picture in the back.
Oh, in the East Village still?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. I want to go there and take a picture of your picture.
I mean, this is nearly 20 years ago. So I don't know, maybe 15 years ago.
Dude, I used to love the action shots of the crime pictures they'd have up in delis. Where you see like a picture of him looking left and then a picture of him looking right and then a picture of him putting like milk in his jacket.
But now that I know what I know now, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but now knowing what I know now,
book, though.
You're not getting any better.
I added another now the third time.
Knowing what I know, what I now, 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 the Louis J. Gomez story.
Now, 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 now. Yogi, knowing what I know now,
there you go, you finally got there.
I would not have stopped. I would have been like, suck my dick. I would have started chugging the beer. They can't touch you. They legally can't put their hands on you, so they have to give you a talking to.
I don't think it always stops them though.
No, because you'll get ghetto ass people who don't give a fuck about the law. Like the only reason I know this, I talked about my act actually. When I was 16, I worked at Hot Topic and they taught us that at Hot Topic. They were like, if you see a shoplifter, you can't touch them. And this is a corporate job, so they were very like clear during the training. But my assumption is a lot of mall security or people that just work in stores, they just don't pay attention that much. You'll see it sometimes just somebody be working at McDonald's and somebody like, yo, fuck you, give me my fucking french fries, faggot. And then the person that works there starts swinging and you're like, whoa, you can't start swinging, employee of McDonald's. You know, that's like a major lawsuit.
I love it though. Those are my favorite.
No, that's their,
sure.
That's their saying. I'm loving it. That's where it came from.
Yeah. The start swinging, I guess. Yes. You really can't do, but man, in most of those, like those stories, those videos, dude, I'm with the employee a lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they're, but I mean, like there was one that's viral now of the lady just, I don't know what the argument is. She slaps her in the face, the customer, and just like walks away. And you see this girl, like she has like a 4 second like thought of like, is it worth my job? And then she just chases after her down the street. It's fucking pretty wild. But, like,
well, if you get hit, I don't even know if you can lose your job. Like if you get hit, I think you're defending yourself. Most states,
but someone slaps you and walks away and like they're out of the store by the time you get them.
Yeah, it's a little, that depends probably on the corporate policy or something like that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's going to come down to like a decision there. It's not like, obviously.
Well, it depends on who's making the decision. Like if it's Ronald McDonald, you're probably in trouble. But if it's a Hamburglar, he's not passing judgment on you.
Hamburglar doesn't give a shit at all.
He's like, Grimace, robble, robble.
Grimace, that's why he's purple. He's in between.
Grimace.
He's a little red, he's a little, red, little blue. It depends. He's you know, from issue to issue.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, the fucking... You'll see people just not give a fuck. Security all to tackle people. I wish a female security guard just fucking knock a bitch out. There's some bitch stealing, and then the girl started talking shit to the girl, and the security guard just started wailing on her. And you're like, they just don't give a fuck at all about like lawsuits.
Well, I saw one recently out in California.
Hood got smart and started hiring the hood started hiring like hood chicks and dudes to be the security, but like, you know. Like they have a steady job or something, so they will, you know what I mean? Like it'll get a little more like the argument with the security will be a little more ghetto.
There's also just like now, so like I know like out in California and shit where they've like basically in effect like legalized shoplifting, or it's not like legal, but like it's up to like $900 or something like that, you just get a ticket. And wow. So like they don't arrest you. And so like people are just stealing shit constantly. And then, and you can't do anything. You'll be prosecuted if you fucking try to tackle them or some shit. But I've seen a couple videos now where like, it's like people are just so frustrated with it. They're just doing it. They're just like tackling people who are trying to shoplift and shit. But yeah, they probably all get prosecuted for it.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Did
Philly do that too? Is that what the people are just flash mob looting in Philly every day? It's pretty crazy.
I know there's been a lot more of it.
They're shutting down major franchise stores. Department stores in Philly are just closing.
And evidently, I heard this was true in New York City too, Jay. I don't know if you like have seen this, but evidently they're putting like way more shit in those like locked cases now. Like everything's in the locked cases.
Yeah. It's really like it's pretty wild. I mean, like CVS and shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even hate. Look, here's the deal. If they fucking obviously, I'm not going to go just fucking loot a store. But if you're just sort of giving people the opportunity to do it, like, what do you think is going to fucking happen?
The trash is always going to do it. So when they said, like, when Austin...
Some fucking 18-year-old kid who, like I was that kid, dude. I would have definitely stolen a fucking stereo.
Yeah, I'm faulting their parents. But they're... Yeah. I'm faulting them. They're... whatever, but I just don't know. It's like,
do you fault their parents and then fault their parents and then their, and then now we're talking
we're going
about
going back to Adam and Eve.
Now we're
fuck
fucking
you, Adam and Eve.
Four or five slave. Generations, we're just fucking slaves. I mean, what are these people? How do you even fault their? Whose parents are you even faulting
them for being slaves?
Yeah, why were you so weak?
Why'd you get caught?
Yeah,
Jesus
Kanye
Christ,
West,
dude.
Kanye West said it was a choice. God.
All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show. This is for responsible adults over the age of 21 living in states where Delta 8 is legal. If you want to get high, and I mean
guess
really
what,
high.
Dude, I'm in one of those states, bro.
Oh, Delta Vampire. It's good. It's good to have you back. We had weirdly some other vampire in the other day. Kind of sounded like you.
Yes, he was different. He was tired.
Well, you tell them, Delta 8 Vampire, obviously you love this stuff. If people want to get high, where should they go?
Oh, you go to YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of Gas Digital Network. You know, Dave, YoDelta is found in gummies and vapes. It's just the fun stuff. None of the harsh coughing and problematic burning of things. You can do this anywhere. Airplane bathroom.
I don't think you're allowed to do it in the airplane bathroom, your Delta Vampire.
Underneath the church pews.
That seems kind of sacrilegious.
Let me think of other places. Hamas strike.
Wait, Delta 8 Vampire, what were you doing in the middle of a Hamas strike?
Getting ripped on gummies, bro. What were you doing? Raping and pillaging, you piece of shit?
Wait, you're just assuming we were all at the Hamas strike doing something?
Oh, you guys don't like rave music?
All right, this is flying off the handle. Anyway, go to YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. Use the promo code GAS. That'll get you 25% off your entire order. One more time, YoDelta.com, promo code GAS for 25% off of your order. And all three of us here at the Legion of Skanks, we condemn Hamas and their actions.
Okay, stand with Israel.
All right, let's get back into the show.
No, the point is... Well, one, again, you're not like people come in like and the thing in Philadelphia is just crazy. But again, you're right. To take advantage of like the rule. That's what I was saying. In Austin, Texas, the only change was that they said you can, and I might be getting this like whichever it is wrong, it's like you're able to camp on any municipal property or whatever, like, you know, it's whatever city property, you're allowed to camp. And then everyone was just like, what's the worst version of that? It's, oh, homeless people now are legally can sleep on the streets and set up like shop. You know what I mean? Like the worst thing happened. So when they go, whatever the shoplifting thing was, like, they're like, we're tired of clogging up the system with shoplifting. You make an announcement that's like, hey guys, we're not even going to prosecute for this anymore. So yeah, exactly. The drebs come out and fucking are like, well then let's do it, man. It's worth it.
I think they should do for the homeless what they do for pigeons in New York City. Should have sharp spikes everywhere so homeless people can't lay down.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, that's I'm not against it.
That's it. It's the same way they solved the Walking Dead problem.
Yeah, dude, just spears facing toward the homeless.
The homeless people just all commit suicide on the spears.
That'd be so funny if you see a bunch of junkies like dead through spears, like a piles of them, because they're too stupid to stop walking into it. They go, I think there's drugs in there.
Yeah, like, well, I'm never crazy, like afraid of homeless people because of like what they can, like, they're so like weak and junked out. You're like, all right, I think I can take most homeless people. Very rarely do I see a homeless person where I'm like, all right, they're gonna afraid get of me them. In a fight.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get their fucking AIDS blood.
Well, that's on it. Me. And also it's disgusting and it just ruins like I was out in San Diego last weekend, and like I guess if you talk to them about it there, they're like, well, we're not as bad as San Francisco or LA or whatever, but the homeless problem is pretty bad out there. And it's just like, it just walking around during the day, it just like ruins it.
Sure.
Like, oh, there's just some dude, you know, like covered in his own shit. It's like, it's just like, and it also just seems like fucked up. Like, it seems like it's not, it doesn't seem like the humanitarian thing is like, oh, just let him live covered in their own shit on the street.
No, San Francisco.
What is the thought process?
Well, let me say something real quick. San Francisco is the real example, though. I mean, I was just there, and again, locally, they were all talking about it too. But it's just like a place. It was so good, man. I've been doing comedy long enough that I remember going there, and I used to say it was one of my favorite cities to go to.
I remember that.
I still love the clubs, but like this as a city, I'm like, it's one of the coolest cities. Then the energy of this shit, when the tech thing kind of blew up there, like the energy of the shit city started to change and stop being like that hippy dippy, kind of like fun, weird stores and stuff kind of place to like, a much more like franchisey fucking place. But now it's just like, it's like permissive parents. And like, you're wondering why your kids are fucking junkies. They're like, yeah, it's like the homeless people should be allowed to shit in the streets. It's like, it's their world too. If they want to poop on the streets, it's fine. And then everyone, there's a problem now with like air quality from people shitting in the streets. Yeah. Again, with the camping thing. So down every alleyway, I drove 2 miles in an Uber from hotel to a Best Buy, and even where the Best Buy was, I mean, it was scuzzy out there, man. It's really crazy. I'm sure on the outskirts of it, there's still like the kind of rural parts of it that I'm sure are nice, but San Francisco, like proper, dude, is like scuzzy.
San Francisco used to be like one of the most expensive cities in the country. Is it still that way?
Well, when it became that is when it started to become shitty, weirdly. And then they just like, but they know what I wanted to say. Like any, there's
what is the idea behind them not like prosecuting these crimes and like sort of like pushing? I don't understand like the government, the concept behind being like, all right, we're going to stop prosecuting minor crimes.
My best guess,
we're going to sort of let people be homeless and live on the streets. Like,
well, it was basically like there was like the rise of what are called the progressive prosecutors, and they won seats like all throughout the country, but especially like in blue cities. And their pitch initially was kind of made sense, that it was just like, look, there's like way too many black people in prison, there's too many interactions with like minorities and the police, and they were big on pushing like decriminalization of marijuana.
And we've been saying, look, I know you guys have been saying for 100 years black people act right, but they're just not going to do that, so we need to come up with a new solution.
So what are we doing? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. They have no bootstraps.
In layman's terms, I guess. But Dave, that's what I was going to, that was almost going to be my they're trying to cut down on fucking videos of them saying like a cop was too rough with a black kid who was shoplifting.
Well, they were
a Hispanic kid that was whatever, you know.
Yeah, like there's a bunch of that. But they were really big in the push for decriminalizing pot, and like other and like a lot of people were behind that. I thought that was a great idea, you know, like it's a but then they didn't really run on any of this, but then once they got power, they were like, oh, and also we're gonna kind of like legalize, you know, like
every
shoplifting
possible,
and
yeah.
We're not going to enforce like people just setting up. And then it's almost like the thing got so out of control once they were like, we're not going to enforce like homeless people not setting up encampments, that the encampments got so big that now you're like, oh, you'd literally need like it would take a serious effort to fucking get them. And then you got to figure out where you're going to relocate all these
people.
And it's
also like, well, here's the other thing is like, no, you don't got to relocate them. They go back to being spread out. Homeless people shouldn't come together to create pockets of shit, right? No. You go under a bridge, you live in the sewer, sir. You live behind the liquor store.
You kill each other if someone else tries to go to your place, kill them. And then it weeds itself out. Now they're all living harmoniously.
We've always had a homeless problem in New York, dude. I've been in New York City since 2001. There's always been a homeless problem. We never said, hey, homeless people, get together in droves and be in an area. It was like, no. If there was three homeless people that congregated in front of a store, the store owner would come out and be like, get the fuck out of here. Get you fucking homeless piece of shit. And everyone would go, yeah, get the fuck out of here. This is a nice neighborhood, you fucking scumbag. Get a job. And we'd look down at them and we'd spit at them and they'd ask us for money. I'd be like, fuck you, I'm not giving you money. I work hard for my money, you fucking piece of shit.
You're just going to buy drugs with it, you piece of shit.
You don't fucking enable it and give them a neighborhood. That's psychotic behavior. Well,
the crazy thing is like walking around like a place like San Diego. It's like a really nice city and it's expensive and like it's got all these like nice restaurants and it's all these kind of like, I don't know, whatever, like upper middle class people. And it's kind of crazy that you're like, what, you guys just accept this? Like, you guys just accept that, like, half your city is taken over by fucking, like, these crazy drug addicts? It's nutty.
It's pretty nuts, yeah. And, you know, so I always thought that was, like, a joking suggestion. I didn't in South Park, I didn't realize it was that they took it from a real thing. I didn't know they a lot of places will just bus their homeless to, like, a different place.
That's going on all over the place. Yeah.
Very often California.
Yeah, right? Don't, like, governors, like, argue with each other? Some governor will be like, they'll be like, we homelessness is a problem. Some other governor's like, we love the homeless. And the governor from the red states, well, here, take our homeless, you fucking idiot.
You love them so much.
Dude. It's crazy. I'm just saying, like, the whole idea.
Were you making people burgers?
I grew up so fucking poor, and my mom was a drug addict, and fucking, I didn't have anything given to me at all. And I've gotten myself to a place where I live in an okay neighborhood in New Jersey and, like, a nice house, and, like, my kid has nice things. It would really bum me out.
Your neighborhood's a good neighborhood, isn't it?
It's a really good neighborhood, but it would really bum me out if they just said, we're going to fucking set up a homeless shelter next door right now and have homeless drug addicts all outside on my block. I just would feel like, and they did this on the Upper West Side, right outside of my son's school. And I would just go like, well, no, that's not fair, dude. Like, I wasn't born into this. Somebody handed me. Like, I didn't inherit something and then I fucking get to just have this. Like, I worked my ass off to climb out of the fucking gutters to now you're bringing the gutter back to me.
Well, now that's crazy. Do you remember I don't think it really lasted too long giving Dave Chappelle shit for that. But do you remember when he went to like the town hall meeting in Ohio? Because they're going to build like low income housing. He's like, get that bullshit right out of this neighborhood. Are you crazy? I'm going to build a comedy club here. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah. It's great. Well, which I understand it. It's not like, why do we have
like,
to fucking.
How do you turn on the city? He's like, I don't want bums and junkies behind my fucking farm.
And it sounds selfish to think that way, but it's not. Because if everybody thought that way, we would have way less homeless people. We'd have way less drug addicts. We'd have just more people just taking accountability for themselves, their neighborhood, their family, what's going on. Like, you'd fucking care. If everybody just gave a fuck about creating a nicer, better place for everybody, overall, we'd move forward as a society. The idea that we're going
to. Speaking to you, our audience of homeless junkies, don't go around.
Everyone
nice
would agree
people.
With this. But you can't enable that sort of like. You can't. You're just. I'm not saying like don't fucking like a homeless shelter is a place for a homeless shelter. I fucking get it, but I also
feel like you're saying like homeless shouldn't be like things like that's what you do like your identity because
it shouldn't be easy.
I'm a homeless.
It should be rich. It should suck dick to be homeless.
I live life homeless.
It should suck all the dick in the world to be homeless. Oh, let me also say something. Let me also fucking say something. That fucking homeless.
Stop letting all the steam out of the steam room.
that the guy who we had on the worst life competition, that the homeless guy.
The homeless guy, yeah.
I remember we gave him
a good spirit.
No, dude, not a good spirit.
Oh, I believe spirit. His name was Kevin.
Dude, yeah, he fucking made a video trashing me and put it on YouTube. And I gave that cocksucker $50. I donated $50.
Can we watch it? Can we watch it?
Oh, it's making me so mad, dude.
Oh, he's at, he spent your $50 to make that YouTube video.
Hey, Louis, what is it called? I have to
just Louis J. Gomez is an idiot or something. I mean, something along those lines.
That's going to get too many results, bro.
Go to page 17. 15 videos down.
Goes, not the Louis J. Gomez is an idiot channel. It's just one specific video. yeah, maybe just Kevin Louis J. Gomez, because he was mad about the advice that, first of all, Dave came up with the advice, which was to start banging fat chicks, and I doubled down on
it. No, I didn't come up with that, did I? I thought that was you.
Maybe it was me.
I may have said that.
I said this guy could. I think I said this guy can go to a bar.
Dude, the thing that was
the end of the night and go home with Fetcher. He's a good looking guy.
The thing that was infuriating about him was that, like, anytime we'd try to come up with a plan, he's just like, no, it's not going to work. I'll just keep being homeless. And you're like, well, that's not an option.
I'll keep being homeless until I become president of a company, I guess.
Shannon, whatever your name is. Alex, did you find it? Tell me, maybe he deleted it. No,
I'm looking. I mean, a lot of videos come up when, even if I type Kevin next to your name.
Kevin Louis J. Gomez.
A lot of Kevins don't like you. You got
to do it by view count, but it gives me the top viewed ones first.
Hold on. Let's see.
I'll start doing my plugs.
Oh, plug it up while we do it. This great job, Jay.
Thank you. No production bone in my body. Suck on that, Christine.
suck on that production bone, slut.
She said it to me years ago in a drunken mess. I've held on to it. BigJComedy.com for all my dates, everybody. If you're listening live, this is Friday, right? You will be able to see me still if you'd like in Milwaukee. Two more shows, 6:30 and 9, I think. It's a weird start time. But 6:30 is the first show on Saturday. But come to one of the four shows. There's still some tickets left for, I think, all of them. Have some tickets left. Weekend after that, everybody, Philadelphia, the big one, big room at the Alive Casino down by the stadiums. Justin Silver going to be on that with me. I'm trying to get maybe Brian Six. It's Philly, so we know we're going to have a bunch of guest spots. Maybe Mr. Butterly will join us.
Louis J. Gomez.
I'll be there in spirit.
Dave will be there in spirit. I'm going down Thursday for the Tool concert first. Pretty stoked on that. But yeah, that's November 18th, Philadelphia Live Casino. After that, I'll be in Cleveland.
Half of Jay's plugs are just him telling you about the concerts he's seen recently.
Also, guys, I saw Rizzy yesterday. no relation, though, because I'm going to Milwaukee this weekend. Cleveland, Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm all over, everywhere. Leading up to the end of the year, I'll be at Homestead, Pittsburgh, Improv.
Good chance I'm going to see Billy Joel.
New Year's Eve weekend, trying to get into one of those last Joel shows before the residency ends over at MSG. I had December 2nd, I actually will be seeing Kiss's final show at the Garden, taking my parents to that one. Hopefully see you guys there. We're going to rock and roll all night. Also coming up on the pro, watch Dog Belly on YouTube. I'm going to do a new crowd work special. I'm filming it in January in Denver. Listen to the Bonfire, listen to SDR show right here. You all know my shit.
Hell yeah.
Also, my buddy Mike Fenoy had his new special came out. Check his new special. Very, very funny.
Very good. Check out Mike Fenoy's special. And then check out my special. In fact, do mine first. My special's still up for free on YouTube. If you're listening right now, tonight and tomorrow night, Arlington Draft House in Arlington, Virginia. Really looking forward to these shows. Got Robbie the Fire Bernstein coming with me. Got a lot of cool stuff coming up this month. Can't announce it all yet, but some real big shows coming out in the next couple weeks. And then, once again, just like last year, the day after Thanksgiving, November 25th, one night only, I'll be at Laugh It Up in Poughkeepsie. Robbie the Fire Bernstein, I think I'm going to bring BK Chris with me to that one as well. Shows all sold out last year, so I have a feeling they're going to sell out again. So go get tickets for that now if you want to come out. ComicDaveSmith.com. And of course, Part of the Problem right here on the Gas Digital Network. And Lewis will tell you how to subscribe to the Gas Digital Network when he's done with his plugs.
Fuck yeah. Well, you guys can just subscribe. Use that promo code LOS. Get a 7-day free trial. Unlock thousands of hours of this show that you cannot get anywhere else. All ad-free and uncensored, all in one place.
God, your plugs are so long, dude.
Dude, please let me actually plug this. Then you get access to the Racist Live Chat as well, which is fucking awesome. And yeah, make sure you check me out. I have a brand new tour starting in January, the Mediocre Tour. I'm going to a city near you. Just go to lewisofskanks.com to check out where I'm going to be. But a bunch of the dates are already up on the website. And yeah, for the time being, I'm just fucking relaxing. Just enjoying my victory, enjoying my championship, enjoying my new son, Tim Butterly.
Maxing and relaxing. Did we find it?
I don't see it.
No, I'm looking.
I've been looking. I can't find it.
So why was he pissed off at you? Assuming we're not going to find it.
He was he also emailed you after the contest asking if he gets Skankfest tickets. Look up his email address, see if you could find his YouTube channel.
I did. Nothing.
Damn. He took it down.
He may have taken it down because I commented on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so what was it saying? Give us the...
He was like, yeah, you're an idiot. You know, Luis J. Gomez, you told me I could just, you know, meet up with some chick. And he was just mad that was the advice that we were giving him or whatever.
It was such good advice, by the way.
It was great.
Maybe he was just trying to be funny.
No, he wasn't trying to be funny, dude. I really wish you could find the fucking video. Damn it.
I wonder what he turned on you for. And what did you comment?
I was like, I gave you $50. Send it back, you piece of shit. Fucking scumbag.
Spin it, bro.
Oh, and then fucking...
I spent it on snacks for a fat chick who wouldn't let me sleep over.
Hey, boys. Let's take a moment and thank sheathunderwear.com for supporting today's show. I love my sheaths. Really love them. I know that we're getting into the winter season right now. So Jay gets so excited when we get into the winter season. And he can start talking about all the gator necks and all of the winter accessories.
Yeah, hoodies, the whole deal.
Damn, dude. But their underwear is really what everybody goes there for. And all the other things is what you stay for, maybe. They have their moisture-wicking technology, incredible styles. The feel is just not a better feeling on my balls. But what makes them different than every other pair of underwear is their dual pouch technology. Mm. So you sheath your dick and balls. They keep them all separated. They keep them all cool. And I'm very excited. Congratulations to Sheath Underwear because they are officially the official underwear of the UFC now.
Hell yeah.
That's insane.
Really? Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. They're officially a sponsor. So cool.
Oh, so enjoy them here while you got them, everybody. They've gone on to make bigger and better friends, everyone. I thought it was going to be Tim Dillon that took them from us, but it turns out it was the UFC.
Sheathunderwear.com is the website. Check out their incredible line of products. Loyal to this podcast for over 3 years, and we are loyal to them. Christmas season is coming up. This is a great gift for the holidays. If you want to save some cash, just use the promo code SKANKS when you check out. You're going to save 20% off your entire order today. Sheathunderwear.com, promo code SKANKS for 20% off. All right, where were we? Dude, by the way, 30 Hits of Acid guy, he created another video. This guy's obsessed with me. He like, we don't got to watch it because he doesn't do anything new. It's just another video pointing out that I'm fucking, but I commented on his video. I was like, dude, come on the podcast, debate this with me, please. I was like, I would love you to come on.
Oh, we could do Skank Court.
We'll do Skank Court. We'll take me to Skank Court. And he keeps on deleting my comments. I commented three times.
Was Forrest in that story?
What?
Was your friend Forrest in that story?
No, Dan Doherty.
There's no way to find Dan Doherty.
Dan Doherty is a wandering soul. He's out there somewhere. But we can maybe find him.
He's all fucking probably whacked out on 30 Hits of Acid.
Could I find...
Dan Doherty never came back.
Who are the characters?
Never came down from that acid trip.
The hippie's name was...
There, man.
The hippie's name was Julian. I don't think I could find him.
Dude, 30 Hits of Acid guy's name was Julian. Lewis, did you just steal his story?
The girl that drove me around... I don't know if I want to say her name because I saw her in porn later on. Like, she's a girl that we went to high school with. And I've told this before. It's like, we just randomly one day, like, somebody sent me, like, dude, this girl's in porn now. And she was in, like, one of those, like, you know, Miami pornos. It was fucking crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, great. But she, the fucking sun just literally started
hitting
me.
Was it Gene who drove you, that drove you to the airport to get sport?
He wasn't there, no.
Okay.
Well, you're just saying names.
And Gene didn't drive Lewis to the airport to get sport. One time Gene drove Lewis and Alex to the airport, and then also it was all worth it for sport. Sometimes I feel like you didn't even listen to that poem, Jay.
Dave.
They fought. I think they fought in front of Gene.
Dave.
It was worth it for sport.
Jay.
Yeah.
Gene drove me to the airport for sport.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wait, it was four. He drove you to the airport.
Yeah, Gene drove me to the airport. Gene, no, yeah, it is.
But I think they fought on the way to the airport.
The yelling and fighting was all worth it for sport.
For
yeah.
sport, yeah. Yeah, while Gene, poor Gene was just driving them.
Oh,
and Lewis and his girlfriend are fighting. It was all worth it.
You guys met Gene. Gene came to Skankfest in Vegas the first year we did Vegas.
Old with Beatrice, by the way.
Oh, really? Gene came to the Skankfest?
Not this past one, but the one before in Vegas, the first Vegas one.
So funny.
Thanks, babe.
When you first read the poem, the thing, you don't remember exactly who Gene was.
No, I was, yeah, because I didn't remember.
You're like,
it had been so long since I thought about it, right? Yeah, no, Dan Doherty. So Dan Doherty and Gene, I went to Amsterdam when I was 22 with those both of those guys.
Oh, but really? Dan, so weird. I didn't realize that Gene was actually involved in anything with Dan Doherty.
No, yeah, Gene and Dan Doherty went to, we were all friends from high school. And... yeah, Gene came to Skankfest a couple years ago.
Shittiest name.
Gene is kind of a psychopath too. He's a fucking lunatic of a dude. But I would love to get, I would love to do Skankcore. We can get, what's the guy's name that we sold the 30 Hits of Acid story from?
I call him 30 Hits of Acid guy. I give him the OG respect.
Doggy, yeah, sure. It's so funny. Every response to it, because he posted on like the Joe Rogan subreddit. He posted on like he's like trying to like get this thing going.
Yeah, of
and,
course.
And everybody's response is, dude, I know five people with this story. Like, this is like...
Hey, don't you hate it? It sucks when I said it's always, dude, whenever you get dragged, it's for like the shittiest.
Well, no, it's not. First of all, it's not a shitty story, Jay. My story is a good story. No, it's my own story, but it's not a unique.
No, I'm saying the uniqueness of the actual, like the bones of the story are a thing that you're saying. A bunch of people have had.
No, I think
the stories have taken too much acid.
The point you made in the past, which is like when people argue about jokes that are stolen, it's always like shitty jokes. That's not what this is. It's like we both have similar.
It's not necessarily shitty jokes. It's just too easy.
It's
just
common thinking.
It's easy enough that someone else. Look, it's a story.
A lot of people have had this experience. Yes.
It's a story about getting way too high. It's like, yeah, like I'm not even saying it's a bad story. It's
people who do, I don't know.
People have experiences like that.
People who do acid. I mean, I've done a decent amount of acid in my day. There was a time when I considered myself a fucking, I don't want to say a psychonaut because that's the gayest fucking thing in the world.
Wow.
But like
psychedelic adventurer.
Yeah, I would regularly do whatever psychedelics were in front of me. And if we could find them, we were fucking doing them. Right. And it wasn't until the past few years where I was just like, yeah, I'm just kind of calmed down with drugs in general. The anxiety that psychedelics give me, it's not worth the high for me. That's why I don't really typically take them. And mushrooms and acid both hurt my stomach for some reason now, like in a really fucked up way. They really just fucking make my stomach hurt. But there was a time when I fucking would do a ton of drugs. If I ever had an eyedropper, and I don't, this is the only time that I ever had like where the guy gave it to me. I've had times where people have dropped it on my tongue with an eyedropper. The only time where I've had it in my hand, if I went off with that eyedropper, it could have gotten crazy. Cause Dave, you'll know this cause you've done acid. Jay, have you ever done acid besides the time we dosed you?
No.
Dave, you've done acid though. Like if you go do acid, what'll happen is if you have that eyedropper at one point, an hour in, when you start tripping, you're like, dude, I probably should do a little bit more.
Yeah.
And you're going to start just dropping it on yourself. So I've heard this a lot from people where they have liquid acid and then they start dosing themselves and they lose track. This is Alex, you're saying Alex, say that you could jump in, Alice.
I did this during the pandemic and just kind of got loose with like letting the little drops hit my tongue and had the best night ever, but it went on for a long time.
Yeah, you don't even know how many hits you're in because you're on acid. You can't count anymore. Yeah,
and you start
one, two, 12.
You start forgetting how many times you've gone back to the well. You're like, I don't even know if I already did, if I already redosed.
I don't think I've done any acid. But the amount of people that comment on his video and on like Reddit that are like, yeah, dude, like everyone has this story. Anybody who ever has bought acid buys it from a hippie.
That's what I mean, he's
holding on. But
it's also in the Joe Rogan subreddit. They're like, we all have this story. This is us.
But it's
your story's also told, like your story's told funny. His is just like, hey, everyone, here's my story. But again, he let himself be, he is defined by that story.
It's
crazy. It is his biggest identity. it's just a story you've told.
It is one of 1,000 stories that I have, because I'm an interesting human being that has more than just one story. So that's what he's holding on to.
Acid story.
I know. And so then he's holding on to that's the thing, the fact that it's the elements of his story that are just so unique to him, which is that it's a hippie and that it was in an eyedropper, which are just two of the most generic elements in any acid story. The only people I would get acid from in the 90s and early 2000s were fucking hippies.
Oh, now, you also saw the walls melt. Okay. All right. Okay.
Oh, I guess this guy listened to Pink Floyd. Okay, dude.
Oh, all right. You realized if Wizard of Oz does line up with Dark Side of the Moon? Okay.
But the other thing is, then I was like, all right, well, I'll debate you on the podcast, because I think it'd be funny content to bring him on the podcast and we'll do Skank Court, dude. But he's deleting my comments. So what I want everyone to do is I want everyone to go comment on this guy's YouTube videos. What's his name? Zach Black.
Taylor Rocha.
Yeah. See if he'll come on Skank Court, and he'll take Luis J. Gomez to Skank Court for his story, and he can tell his version, and that'll be that. I would love to have him on the show.
Don't even ask. I think just subpoena him.
I think he's tell wrong, but I'll be his lawyer. Zach, I'll be your lawyer, and I'll argue your case for you, but I don't think you're right.
That's how good a lawyer Jay is.
Yeah.
But I'm Luis's lawyer, obviously.
Money talks, dog.
Luis has me on retainer for Skank Court.
Yeah,
any charges, I have to defend Lewis.
Yeah, you're his guy for sure.
I got him off of that dosing real nice.
Yeah.
It's such a funny thing, because I like defend like comics when they get accused of stealing jokes with this thought. Like Dane Cook, right, is a great example, who got accused of stealing. And it was like the Louis, like, scratch your asshole with a fart joke, which is such a, like, any comic who farts to scratch their asshole, which we've all done it, literally would go, oh, that could be a funny joke, and you would just write that down, but it's just been done. So like you wouldn't even go there, because you would assume that somebody kind of like came up with that already. But that was the one that Louis accused Dane of stealing, right?
Yeah. Oh, buddy, I just watched
it. Was that there were like three jokes, I think.
Dark Side of Comedy, that show on Vice is back. I didn't know the new season started, so I started watching them last night. I watched Carlos Mencia's, and it really shows the whole Rogan thing, how like that kind of like brought him down.
So it's Mencia, hilarious. Though, he admitted to stealing, which is a weird thing,
no,
right?
No.
He did. I heard him. He
was like being sarcastic when he did it.
That was a joke. The I Am Comic thing. He was he did that completely like sarcastically. No, the show's interesting because they're interviewing comics who are friends of his. It says under like that are currently his friend, and they have him all throughout the episode. Currently, Carlos Mencia, and he says he never stole a joke, and all of his friends are like, man, if he would just admit it, man, everyone could just move right past it, like his own friends. Now, here's the thing: the importance put on joke stealing, dude. There's just no way to steal. I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe it does happen. I guess a ton, dude. I just don't think it really happens that much. It's such a weird thing to get, but people would also buy jokes from each other and shit, you know what I mean? Like, those things did happen, but like integrity in comedy, like I feel like anyone who I've ever liked sort of has that integrity that it would, like, they wouldn't even, like, they're not accusing people ever of stealing jokes all the time, like that fucking argument.
I think it's very rare that people are stealing jokes. I think that Dane Cook was the example that I make. He's like a fucking, even if you hate Dane Cook, I liked Dane Cook back in the day. I thought it was pretty fucking funny. Right?
Yeah, me too.
I was watching some Dane Cook with James a couple days ago. I was showing James some bits because it's really fun for a kid. Like, he has fun bits, like,
yeah,
this, you know, the non-sexualized ones, but it's like a lot of like stuff that works. He curses, but it's not like really dirty. It's just kind of like fun.
Yeah.
But like, he's got like so much material, like, I just know the way
a
comic works. You go like, well, why would I give it all? Why would I give my reputation up? I can write jokes. I can write great jokes. I can write killer fucking bits. Right. So why would I give it all up so I could have two extra jokes out of like the hours and upon hours? So I can just like, I want to get two more fucking, I want to squeeze two more out. I'm going to steal these fucking bits. It just doesn't logically make any sense.
No, I think what happens a lot more is, number one, there's parallel thinking. And then number two, there is like a thing where you can it could just be in the back of your head somewhere and you have heard this joke before and you don't even realize that you've heard it before. And it just like, fucking
yeah, you can subconsciously,
like I've done things before, just like several times on stage, just riffing and like said something in it. Not that I took something from someone else, but that I said a certain words and then I went, oh, that's like,
yeah,
Dave's like someone else's words.
Dave's like, I love black people, but I hate like Dave. That is a...
Wait, is that me? I mean, I believe it, but is it me?
Well, dude, last episode of Skanks, I made a joke. We were talking about something about Africa and about having sex, and I said Wakanda forever, and that's a joke that Tim Butterly or Rainey made 2 years ago on the podcast. It wasn't about the same subject matter, but it was the same pun, and we actually named the episode, it was 3 years ago, we named the episode the same fucking thing. But it's like, I promise you I didn't steal that from Mike Rainey or Tim Butterly.
You consciously go, I'm
but I also technically could have, that could have sat in the back of my fucking head for 3 years as a pun, right? Could have easily. On a podcast, it's just, you throw it out there. As a stand-up bit, you go through it. You, the exact same process that happened on the podcast where somebody went, oh, that was a joke that somebody else made. You go, oh, cool, I'll just never do that again. That was a, well, there's parallel thinking, or I subconsciously remembered it.
Mike Fenoya had, he ran a joke check by me the other day, actually. And it was like so in line with like your, the joke I love of yours, the James, you didn't cut off his penis and glue it to his butt and let him be a tiger. It was like conceptually like the same thing.
A lot of people have done that joke at this point too. A pirate.
Like, sure. That's what I was like. So that's what I told him. I was like, I said, Lewis already has a thing like that. And he's like, he'll never do it.
Yeah. That's just what it is. That's the way comedy works. And sometimes people point stuff out and be like, oh, that's similar. You're like, well, it's a premise and I'm having a different angle on it.
If it's conceptual and based on observational, you're gonna run into that. If you're telling like your personal stories, you don't even have to worry about that.
Yeah. Unless you run into Zach Black, the 30 Days of Acid guy.
Yeah, when you're just stealing stories,
I told him my entire life experience.
Lewis, you didn't know how popular you were going to get when you decided to mirror this guy's life that one time.
But that's my whole thing. Is like, I have so many stories. I do 12 hours of podcasting a week. Stories for days. Like, we just nonstop, like...
I'll tell you what, Zach Black's his best story I've ever heard him tell when I started watching his stuff now was about when he robbed a KFC he worked at with a screwdriver in his pocket to pretend it was a gun because he was mad at the guy because he whacked off during lunch rush and got punched in the
face. What a crazy way to be, where I'd be like, you know what, dude? I'm going to go and fucking steal. I heard a story that somebody else told. And just for the hell of it, I know I have 1,000 stories. I know I've lived a pretty fucked up life and I have a lot of crazy things that happened to me, but I'm going to steal this pretty middle of the road story and I'm going to turn it into fucking whatever. It's not even one of my good stories.
Yeah, that's my critique of you, is telling it on Rogan when you got so many better stories than that.
Well, it's not even that I was telling him a good story. It was relevant to the conversation. Yeah. So we got into a conversation about drugs and psychedelics and acid and doing too much. And then that was a relevant story to my life. So I wasn't going like, ooh, this is my story to tell on Rogan. That's where the conversation went.
Rogan brings on Zach Black onto his show and then he tells that story. And then Rogan goes, you're stealing Luis J. Gomez's story.
I hope he just goes, I have never heard anything like that in my life. That's a fantastic story.
Holy shit, dude. Had I heard something like that, unless somebody told it in a completely forgettable way, I would have remembered it.
Yeah.
And you're my new co-host.
It's now you, the sir, Joe and Zach experience. Got it. I anoint you. Greatest storyteller ever. I hope he comes to do Skank Court.
I hope he does too. I open invite Zach Black. Come to Skank Court. Guys, go let him know that, because he deletes my comments and I'm assuming he's deleting other people's comments, calling me an idiot. But I'm like, dude, please come on Skank Court. I didn't say Skank Court. I was like, just come on the podcast, debate this with me. I'd love to have you on. And he won't do it.
Yeah. I remember I was like furious because a guy stole my bit about when I was a new dad and the kid not sleeping very much and not getting a lot of sleep. And it's like, another guy who was a young dad just told that same story. It's crazy.
No, guys, I got to be right back. I just got to go change my act.
It is always just so. That's what I mean. It's like the arguments are always on like the basics of the thing. You know what I mean? Your story isn't exactly the same at all. Just the points of like overdid acid, hippie sold it to us. Like you said, it's ridiculous to be that. I don't know. to be that like hung up and tied into it. Also, he did it so long ago, and who cares? Is it still making him revenue or something? No. I mean, like, is this guy worried about? He's only worried about that.
He is a dork.
Ooh.
He's a dork. He's a fucking adult Satanist acid head.
Okay, Zach, just so you know right now, I'm writing all this down because this is libel right now, what's happening. So we're going to do pretty good in court. If we don't win this thing, we're probably going to win the civil trial.
Who is all right, so this is a fun story for the show. There's a Twitch/OnlyFans star who's making beer with her own vaginal yeast.
Yeah.
Is that possible, or is she just putting discharge pissable into beer?
It's pissable, Jay.
Is it pissable?
So it is possible. There's I believe, if I read this correctly, it starts in a petri dish and needs to be grown into something that could be used for this beer.
I don't have any issues with this. I like it. Well, look at her. She's toit too.
The smears are taken to a laboratory where bacteria is isolated, clean.
Ew, they call them smears?
Then analyzed and multiplied. At the end of the process, the bacteria are used to produce the pure lactic acid that goes into yoni beer.
Oh, really? If I were her, I would call it ginger beer.
Hell yeah. Jay, you would drink this in a heartbeat.
Ginger ale. No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would.
Not even a little bit.
Jay, I watch you drink a hooker's squirt. Different. Not anywhere near as hot as this girl. Probably did taste.
And good. I've seen you drink beer, separate occasions, but still.
Okay.
Jay, what is this line drawing? You would drink this girl's fucking beer.
Nope.
You wouldn't stop it. You're pissing me off right now,
Jay,
dude.
What am I supposed to do with this 12 pack I got you for Christmas?
Jay, I got you a rack of fucking ginger ales.
Jay, you'd fucking drink the girl's fucking piss beer. You need to fucking stop, dude. I watch you drink a girl's fucking squirt that's rancid.
It was gross. Yeah, it was bad.
I would drink this beer.
Go for it.
Getting drunk off this beer has to be a bit or a punishment on the show. I love that. Where can we get the beer and how much is it?
Let me check it
out. I would in a heartbeat drink. It's just made from vaginal yeast. What it really is, vaginal yeast. It's pussy gunk.
It's a reason why you can't fuck them once in a while.
When they get a yeast infection, when they have an overabundance of vaginal yeast, it's a problem. But I think all pussies make a little bit of yeast.
Yeah, but it's still that bacteria. It's that bacteria that grows into that infection that you're making it out of. It's kind of gross.
But yeast is yeast.
Really? You think all yeast comes from pussies?
Sometimes Lewis just says things with a lot of confidence.
Who cares if it comes from cow pussies or horse pussies or whatever pussies
little known scientific fact
out of?
Yeast is yeast.
I don't believe that the yeast that from the pussy is going to make it taste any different or it's going to be any different. They use yeast to create beer,
an English
right?
muffin is basically just a pussy muffin.
Yeah, look, for a small amount of money, I would taste it, of course. I'm just saying I have no interest in trying it. It was a punishment. It was a punishment also on SDR show, what you're talking about.
Yeah, but that is actually, squirt. Drinking a girl squirt is a punishment. That is
well,
the nastiest thing
I pictured
thing
it more. I've only drank it historically from the tap. Letting it sit around for 15 minutes then drinking it was a mistake.
It separates.
It wasn't. It was bad. It was really.
You're thinking about it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is the science behind this, Alex? Is the yeast from a pussy the same the yeast that we put in bread, technically, from like a scientific standpoint?
Hold on.
You guys have reached the science hour.
I like just asking Alex a question like she didn't have to look that up and just knew it.
Alex, well, she has a quick, pussy. Off top of your head, what's going on with your pussy yeast? Do you ever fucking queef a loaf or something?
Well, can you make bread or muffins or cakes out of yeast from a pussy? Because that's a better treat.
I mean, if you can make beer, I suppose you probably could do
probably,
it.
Probably, dude.
Making pussy muffins, Alex.
Oh, cut Alex. Muffins? Alex? Alex. Cunt muffins is going to move so well on podcast
dude,
merch.
Legion of Skanks cunt muffins featuring the pussy yeast of fucking intern Alex. Those who might be inspired to try baking with vaginal yeast advises don't, as it could cause oral thrush infections, especially
there
with
you go.
Weak immune system.
Thrush. That's a child's disease that is very bad.
However, it is not impossible, according to this article.
A woman decided to try to make sourdough using her yeast. You shouldn't eat it. Doggy.
Why? Why are they doing this?
Because they're fucking real ass. Dude, Alex, Alex, how do you, all right, now Google, how do you collect a woman's yeast?
I mean, that seems pretty straightforward, no?
One finger and a smear, is that it? All, do we need one finger inside of Alex and then we have a whole fucking muffin collection?
I think you need a petri dish to grow it in after.
Cotton swab.
We can use a finger. Nature's cotton swab.
Alex, how about if the swab's really long though? Like we're nowhere near you.
Yeah. Alex, what if we tape 100 swabs together?
No.
He's fucking. Come on,
yeah, man. Pick up.
You wouldn't. You really wouldn't let us get a little bit of your pussy yeast to make muffins.
I mean, I just feel like the outcome, no matter what woman does it, it's going to be disgusting. So
yeah, you're not going
to
eat it.
Why do I have to be the disgusting one? You know,
it's not disgusting, Alex. It's actually a beautiful fucking thing. It's earth, and you were creating things from the earth, from nature.
You guys are gonna be like, ew, Alex is. No, we're not. Gross. When it's like this would have been gross from anyone.
Everybody would have sliced Alex's pussy bread.
This fucking Alex, the blueberries will counteract the nasty taste of your pussy.
He's not wrong. If you throw some sort of a fruit in there, it is going to really sweeten up the taste of your rank pussy infection.
Alex's pussy is going to ferment the fruit immediately.
Blueberry cum muffins.
Dude, holy shit, dude. These muffins are going to be fucked up.
Blueberry cunt muffins now featuring Alex's pussy yeast.
Alex, this is a great idea. You wouldn't give us your fucking
Alex, this placenta. Is a great idea.
This is one of the best ideas we've ever had.
Who's doing the work? Are
me.
You going to
100% me. 100%.
Lewis, is that what you're going to be bringing to the potluck Thanksgiving dinner?
Are you going
to
wear an apron?
Dude, I'll wear a fucking chef's hat.
Did we decide to not do potluck next week? Wouldn't it be next? No, it'll be in 2 weeks.
We are doing potluck. We're each making our own.
A dish.
A petri dish full of Alex's pussy. Come on, Alex.
Is that this Monday?
It's two Mondays, it would be.
I think I'm out that Monday.
Dave's got to fucking go do better.
Oh, he made it out. Motherfucker.
Oh, I was going to win.
He wasn't going to cook anyway.
Well, I wasn't going to cook, but I was going to win.
He was going to have his wife's Nona or something from the old country make something.
He's going to bring it over right from Sicily.
Oh, hey, guys. This is a little fresh ricotta I made. I've been aging it for about 6-7 months. What are you making, Lewis?
I don't know yet.
Cunt cupcakes?
Probably mac and cheese, right? Or you wanted to make mac and cheese. Why don't we have a mac and cheese competition and then we'll fucking get everything else and have a Thanksgiving dinner with everybody.
It's much easier, I will say, to just have a straight mac and cheese competition because it's very apples and oranges otherwise. But if you're just both making the same thing, it's very easy to be like, who
I was
going to
do
mac and cheese?
Orange flavored mac and cheese. You do apple flavored.
Now it's hard again.
But, mac and cheese, Mitch, mac and cheese off?
Mac and cheese off.
Who's making the turkey?
Hold on,
this sucks, but Tom offered to make the turkey.
I would not eat Tom's turkey.
Dude. Tom's turkey.
Well, his name's Tom Turkey.
Tom's Turkey is a good name for a turkey business.
I'll try Tom Turkey.
Dude, if we're going to start a turkey business, Tom's Turkey is pretty good.
Hell yeah. Tom said he'll make the turkey. Is he going to shove a beer can up its ass?
He was so excited about it that it frightened me.
Tom says, here's the type of guy that Tom is. Tom's the type of guy that will declare something
and then not even show up for the insurrection. Some proud boy.
Well, he'll declare something and then like work backwards from there. Like he's never made a turkey, never thought
about
making a turkey.
You're describing your entire life, Lewis.
Yeah okay. Digital and exists. I'm saying, I'm describing why I respect Tom.
Speak first, think later. He's doing the Lewis way.
Sometimes you have to just will things into existence. If you're looking for the pot,
I'm fighting Tim Butterly in Florida. All right, what's step one?
This is how you make the impossible possible is by you fucking start off with something that is seemingly impossible. If you're starting if you're starting off with step number one, like let's do something that's really you're only ending up in possible places. So Tom, you can make that turkey.
Here's to you, Tom.
Here's to you, Tom.
So you know what? Here's to you, Tom. Real men of genius.
Real men of genius.
Mr. Tom. Never made a turkey before, chef.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Tom is going to probably just steal everyone's drugs and not show up the turkey.
He's a thief.
He shouldn't be trusted.
Man, best fucking audio commercial campaign ever.
Oh, so funny.
Best radio. Dude, I look forward when they, when those commercials, when one of the few commercials, when it starts, you were like, oh, is this a new one? And if it was a new one, you were so stoked. That was great.
Commercials just used to rule in general. Like, I mean, it's just people don't watch TV. You're not forced to watch a commercial. We like literally does it's what a weird thing. Like being all right. So back in the day, because I used to want to be in marketing, right? When I was like in the seventh grade, I took a marketing class and I was like, this is it. I would like make commercials, like come up with like advertising campaigns. And it was like really like cool. The idea of like coming up with a campaign and a commercial. And it's like now if you're in like part of like marketing is like your whole thing is like, how do I get somebody to not press fast forward for after 5 seconds on a like a YouTube video commercial?
Well, also the forced commercials now that you'll get in things where there's no options.
Oh, my God.
Other than that, but when there is, then they run the they do the fucked up thing of like it's the same two commercials every time. It goes to a commercial. Like Hulu does that. It's like two commercials, and they just start them over again every time.
Oh, yeah.
Commercial break. And
that's infuriating when I pay ridiculous. For Hulu Premium and I still have to watch commercials.
It's because you don't because you're getting to watch something that wouldn't be on regular Hulu at all. So you have to watch it with commercials.
Yeah.
There's no option for no commercials. I know. But I've argued about this often.
If I have to, if I'm watching YouTube and I have to watch a 30-second commercial, if I can't skip it after 5 seconds, I mean, I may turn the video off altogether. I may never get to the video.
Oh, yeah. That's you got to get YouTube Premium, dude. Game change.
My girl has YouTube Premium. I don't know why. I just can't justify YouTube Premium for some reason.
I love it.
Why?
Because there's just no commercial on things. Like, I watch, like,
you know what's the huge thing about YouTube Premium, I don't know if this is still the case, but this is what it was when I first got it, was that it let you, which and this is bigger than the commercials to me, yes. Which is pretty big, is you could close out the app and still listen to it.
You can still do that.
Do other shit on your phone.
No, you can't, Lewis. You can't do that without Premium.
Yeah, you can.
Well, at least when it first came out, that was the thing.
No.
I love that.
No,
Dave. Those are in. Actually,
remember?
I told you.
Oh, shit, the Jay.
They fucked us.
Dumbass.
They told us it was one way.
But that was a huge thing at the beginning because it was like, oh, you were never able to do this before. And if you wanted to watch a YouTube video, you couldn't answer an email or you couldn't go on Twitter or whatever. And like that was huge. But
yeah, so now on the phone, you can swipe it over to where it's like a thing where that maybe it's an iPhone thing and not even a YouTube thing. Like I'm sure YouTube fucking hates it. iTunes made it. All right, maybe if you're on an Android, you can't do that, but I can just move that screen over and do whatever I want on my phone. So, and that's the thing. It's just the commercials. And it's funny is like James will skip commercials. So when there's a 20 or 30 second commercial on YouTube, there's a way you can still skip it. Cause James does it. I don't even know. Like he does it on the TV. He'll like, Dad, no, here, look. And he just goes poop, poop, poop. And then it just skips the commercial. It's like in like the settings thing. You don't have to watch the whole commercial, but I didn't chastise him, but I was like, James, I was like, you should watch the commercials. I was like, you know what? I was like, that's how they fuck it. That's how they pay for this. I was like, they don't get to make this content for you to enjoy it for free. It's like, so you fast forwarding through the commercials. I was like, that's why they're doing it. So I even though I will
like, skip. Dad, I'm not going to get a GMC Denali now with hands-free driving.
But I just feel like at the very least, like there should be an appreciation for like what's going on. Like the reason that somebody makes content and can put it out for free is because there's an advertisement there. You know what I'm saying? So, sure. You know, that's sort of the way that you're paying for it. So you shouldn't always just necessarily skip forward. And I want to just put it in his head. I know he's going to still skip commercials, but at the very least as a little kid, he should recognize that that's part of the process and part of the system.
That's also probably why quality of commercial goes down because no one's watching.
Yeah.
And it's just a tangled web, everybody. This has been fun, dudes.
Been a great
always
one.
Fun kicking in with the boys and the crew, G Mike, Alex. We will see you guys live Monday from the stand, 1 week out from the great macaroni and cheese off.
Dude, the first annual macaroni and cheese off.
The first
dude, we're gonna, you know what? We're gonna go blind taste test to the audience.
Ooh, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
And we'll have the audience vote number one, number two. Votes. Jay, there's no way you can there's no way you could funny your way into winning this one.
You'll be surprised.
oh shit, Jay's gonna have little dick shaped noodles.
Shit. He goes, are these little dicks? I love this. I love the taste means nothing to me. Who thought of little dick pastas? We'll catch you guys Monday live from the stand. Until then, everybody, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
Who else we fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
You ever try to watch a retard draw a swastika? It's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
That's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.